When we think about the wide spectrum of toxins that we're all exposed to in the environment, whether that be things in our outer environment, environmental toxins, or things in our internal environment, perhaps we have parasites or mycotoxins, or perhaps we have depression or stress or sleep disorders, all of these things are impacting our regulatory functions. And so when we think about our ability to renew and to cleanse, for example, if we don't sleep well, our brain doesn't detox. If we don't get enough exercise and we don't sweat and have good circulation, then our kidneys can't filter and blood doesn't flow through our liver and we don't sweat out our toxins. So the fundamental challenge that we all have living on planet Earth in these times and in a toxic environment that we're not biologically designed to actually deal with, we then have to take more control over our health so that we are more efficient at processing and detoxing and excreting toxins. So we have to have all our doorways of elimination open. So that's the skin, sweating, our kidneys and our urine, our excretion there, how our blood gets filtered by our urine, how our lungs excrete gases. And so we have to have all systems go, and we have to have really the conditions for health, the conditions to have the capacity to process and detoxify. And so in my model of health, what I think about are three layers. Like, what are our genetics and our genomics, and how does that give us either a handicap or a strength at dealing with toxins? What are the actual environmental exposures? And I include in that your relationships as well. So if you have toxic relationships, a stressful job, and then how does that affect the internal physiology? And so in cancer, we call that the cancer terrain or the tumor microenvironment. So we want to look at all these layers, our genetics, our internal physiology, our internal biosystem and its efficiencies and inefficiencies, and then the things we're being exposed to externally, whether that's energetic or emotional or a little literal physical toxin. In the context of cancer, when I'm asked the question, what are the main causes of cancer? Like if I'm asked, what are the three main causes? I'll say environment, 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 because that's our predicament today. So if we want to think of these layers of environment and how we are either have a strength or a weakness in processing certain things in our lives, then we want to make sure that we have this complete view of all the ways that we need to meet this challenge.
Okay, so toxins that we experience in our environment, whether they're something that we consume or something that we're exposed to through the air and we're breathing in, they're going across our lung spaces into our bloodstream, they have to be dealt with in our body. So they circulate in our bloodstream and hopefully are taken care of through the liver. The problem is that we are exposed to more toxins than our liver can deal with often. So they circulate, get dumped into the extracellular spaces, can cross cell membranes, get inside the cells. And that's when they can really cause major problems. If toxins, heavy metals, poisons, pesticides, herbicides get inside the cell, they can potentially affect the DNA replication of the cell. And as a clinician who takes care of cancer patients every day, that's what we see as a very common cause of cancer: toxins, pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals that disrupt the DNA replication and cause, that's what cancer is increase replication rate. So the rate of replication increases. That's really what a cancerous cell is. It's a normally healthy cell, but something happened to that replication rate and now it's reproducing on a daily basis instead of every 12 weeks. And that's a major issue. There's other issues that toxins cause, autoimmune diseases, just ill health, liver disease. We could go on and on, but this exposure to chemicals that we were our ancestors were frankly never exposed to, is really where we're reaping the negative effects of in our healthcare system today. And standards of care just really doesn't even address these things. I know when we start talking about detoxification and the poisons that we're exposed to that are literally ubiquitous, it can be like you're drinking from a fire hose, and it is overwhelming. I really encourage the listeners to go through all of these modules. This master's course is going to be great to walk you through the steps that you need to take and to really avoid errors. There's some box detoxes out there that, oh, I'm going to do this and this is going to solve my problem. And it can really make your problem worse if you don't really deal with all the different phases of detox that are necessary and so that you can clear these things in a healthy way, so that you're not just pulling things out of the tissue, recirculating them and dumping them in some other tissue because my liver pathways are so congested. Dealing with all the different phases of detoxification is essential, and we'll walk you through this in this masterclass. So I really encourage people to hang on. It's a lot of information, but there's a lot of hope here in the future as you learn this information. It can be so beneficial for you and your whole family.
Nathan, when you ask me who needs to worry about toxins, it's literally everyone, because we are living in a sea of toxins. Toxins are literally everywhere around us, and they present to everyone and for everyone in different ways. So we all have a baseline detoxification capability. And when we all reach our toxic load, that is when we're going to start to manifest these symptoms of toxicity or overtoxicity. So everyone literally needs to worry about toxins, because eventually we're all going to hit that toxic load. We're going to get to we're going to go beyond our ability to clear those toxins, environmental, emotional, everything. And so at that point, we're going to start to manifest the symptoms of toxic burden and toxic overload. And those symptoms are different for everyone. So some people can have headaches, you can have brain fog, you can have weight gain, you can have depression, anxiety, rashes. And then it can lead to things like heart disease, diabetes, and eventually it can lead to cancer. So when people have these kind of non-specific symptoms, I'm always thinking about what is their toxic load? What is their toxic burden? What is their ability to clear those toxins? And how can we help them to detoxify and get rid of whatever manifestation they have of their toxic burden? Now let's talk specifically about the kinds of toxins that we encounter. Toxins are literally everywhere. And so what I recommend for most people is that they do a survey inside and out of their homes, of their offices, of their modes of transportation, and see where the toxins are coming from. So in your home, you definitely want to look around your kitchen, look around your bathroom, look around your laundry room. What's underneath your sink? What are you cleaning your home with? And then what's in your bathroom? What are you cleaning yourself with? What are you brushing your teeth with? What are you washing yourself with? What are you putting on your skin? And, you know, it's interesting to note that a small fraction, a really small fraction, around 1,000 chemicals have been tested for their safety, and the rest really haven't. Thousands and thousands of chemicals were grandfathered in before we legislated those things that can be put into things that are topically applied or used in your home or anything like that. So most of the chemicals that we are coming into contact with every single day, either by eating, by breathing, by drinking, by putting them in and on us, most of them have not been safety tested. So for most people, they are constantly consuming things that are inflammatory, poisonous, and the poison's in the dose. And all of us will tolerate a different amount of toxin, a different level of toxin. And again, depends on our personal ability to clear those toxins. But we are all experiencing toxic burden every single day. And so the key to detoxing is to decrease the amount that's coming in and increase the amount that's going out. And I know that that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today, but if there's one message that everyone needs to hear and take home today, it's that toxins are everywhere and we are all being burdened by them. And if you have symptoms that you can't otherwise explain, they're almost certainly due to toxic burden. And finding a way to detoxify is of utmost importance for you and your health.
Basically, to have an overall perspective of physiology and life, we've got about 37,000 billion chemical reactions going on every second in our body. And we're making about 37 million new cells every second in our body, because our body is a dynamic process. It's like a flame. When you look at a flame and you from across the room, it looks like a thing. You get close to it and you see it's not a thing at all. It's streaming gases. It's a process. And that's what we are. We're a process. We're not a thing. It's not like, oh God, I was born with this, so that's it, you know? And that's the picture that's painted for us by the medical profession. You know, you got you are your genes, when in fact that's the opposite of the truth. Genes are this there to assist in adapting to environment. So but anyway, so when we look at how anything's going to disrupt these processes. So by the way, when all of these, so how does this whole physiology work? Well, it works, it needs two things. It needs energy and it needs stuff, nutrients, right? Nutrients are the built, they're actually, they build the physical structure, and they also provide the materials for the cells to make their product, whatever that product is, whether it's cortisol, whether it's a liver detoxifying, producing glutathione, whatever that cell does. So that's what the nutrients provide. But fundamental to all cells is to produce energy. And in fact, the majority of the energy produced by every cell, and it's been figured out, every cell needs about 56 kilojoules per mole. And that's what it needs, whether it's a rapidly beating heart cell or an elbow cell. They all need the same amount, or a cancer cell, which is proliferating crazily. So anyway, so that's the amount of energy needed in the cell. And most of that energy is just to keep the cell structure, the sodium potassium pumps so the cell has a shape. And then the rest, the residual is level is for cellular function. So anyway, so in other words, if we want to keep our bodies in health and a state of health, which we're going to define operationally as optimal functioning of the body, okay, it's not the absence of anything and all that kind of thing. It's optimal functioning of the body would be considered a state of health. And it is the result of providing all of the biological needs, all of your biological needs, from oxygen to sleep to good relationships, to movement, everything, and nutrition, food, and all that. So anyway, so anything that disrupts these processes is going to be a toxin, okay? So when we look at heavy metals, for example, well, you remember I said there's about 37, no one knows for sure, but about 37,000 billion reactions every second. Every one of them is mediated by enzymes. Now enzymes, in order for enzymes to work, they need to get electricity, power. And that power comes in through a mineral, whether it's selenium, manganese, magnesium, calcium, whatever that is, it carries charge, it carries energy into it. Okay, so now Heavy, what are heavy metals? Heavy metals such as lead, mercury, you know, we know them all. There's lots of them. And now even when I do tests on people, I'm even seeing lots of uranium, which is bizarre, very bizarre. But anyway, what do? Well, their power, heavy means that they actually have a stronger charge. They're more powerful. So they have a higher affinity for many things. So I got some mercury going in my bloodstream, and it passes a cell where there's glutathione in the cell, and glutathione in the cytoplasm needs selenium. Well, it's more powerful than selenium, so it replaces it, grabs that, and sits in that spot. So what's happened? You turned off that glutathione producing mechanism. You've turned it off. And so basically heavy metals go all over the body and turn off metabolism, turn off the ability to metabolize. Okay, so that's a big, big deal. Okay, and that's why you can list the symptoms, but it doesn't make this it's not helpful at all. Just understanding what it does, you need to get rid of it because it's going to cause every symptom you could ever imagine. Okay, and then if we talk about, you know, mold, parasites, candida, all those things, basically. When we talk about that, we're talking about how it affects the gut. We're talking about those things in the gut. Because when someone says, I've got candida, I shouldn't eat this and all that. A lot of the people ask me, well, God, should I not eat mushrooms? Well, of course you can eat mushrooms, right? I mean, candida is a member of the fungus world. But there are thousands of species. So that's like the difference between, let's say, a raccoon and an amphibian. You know, a raccoon and an amphibian, they're both animals, they're both in the animal, but they have nothing to do with each other. So yeah, you can eat portobello mushrooms, you're not gonna have them growing out of your ears, and they're not gonna be growing in your stomach. You can eat portobello mushrooms, you can eat those little button mushrooms you like, or whatever you wanna eat. Of course, you can eat the medicinal ones, the shiitake. And if you like to, you can even eat some psilocybin, but you can eat what you can eat. There's lots of mushrooms you can eat, and there are lots of mushrooms you can't eat, because you'll die right away. But in any case, so yeah, don't think of that. So when you think of having candida, or you think of having parasites and stuff, just understand that I think we have about 1.5 quadrillion microorganisms in and on us, okay? With only 170 to 100 trillion cells. There's much more of them than us. They are a bigger part of us than we are. And when I say we, we're just talking about our genes. We have our human genes and they have their genes. So if we looked at our genome, our microbiome is much bigger. There's many more genes in our microbiome than there is in our genome. But it's part of our microbiome. Why am I saying that? Because if I take your heart out, you're going to die. If I take your liver out, you're going to die. And if I take the microorganisms out, you're going to die. So they're just as necessary. So we have to stop calling them and realize they're part of who we are, right? And we understand that. Now, if you look at the way they exist, a really good, easy, simple metaphor is a parking lot. You got a parking lot with 100 million parking spaces, okay? So, everyone's parked. The minute someone moves out, someone else is gonna move in. So if you make a place for the candida, it will go there. And what we know about microorganisms, what we know about, basically the microbiome is very much the intelligence of nature. It's almost because it can change shape. It's pleomorphic. It can change shape to become that which is necessary. Remember, everything that exists in the physical universe, from supernova to exosomes, exists because of they serve and provide certain functions that are necessary for this whole thing to happen. Right. So therefore. All of the microorganisms in our body are performing certain functions. So now what happens is some of them move out because I'm eating glyphosate food. I'm eating other chemicals. I'm drinking out of plastic bottles. I'm getting all this stuff, and it goes in and it destroys a big part of the of my microbiota. And what happens? What happens? The other guys move in, and when they move in and they start, and then they start generating a different metabolic byproduct, they actually change shape and morph. And so they can become what we call pathological. You know, in other words, they can cause problems. So what do you got to do? It's really simple. Put the good guys back. If you put the good guys back, they will know. Remember, they're the same size, right? So they're the same size. They're the same intelligence. They're going to go down there and they're going to fight for their rightful place. Okay, so how do you keep them there? Can I take probiotics all day long? Well, what if I take it like about every hour? Will that work? Well, let me ask you something. If you had a lion and you put a lion in a jungle that had all the animals removed, but it was a beautiful jungle, would the lion live? No. How about you put a horse on a beautiful big place, cement zoo with all other animals, but no plants? Will the horse live? No. So what's the thing there? What's the fundamental thing I'm talking about is food. You've got to have the right food. So your microbiota, which is the different organisms in your microbiome, depend on what you eat. If you're eating fast food, then you're going to get the microorganisms that like fast food. And those are not the ones that we need for optimal health. It's really simple. I mean, people complicate things. I don't know. I'm not sure why. Maybe because they don't really understand it. But EMFs are a whole nother world. What do EMFs do? They block what are called the voltage-gated calcium channels, okay, on the cell, okay, which allows calcium to go into the cell at the right pace. So when that's blocked, when those gates are blocked, because calcium, remember we were talking about minerals as carrying charge, bringing electricity, bringing power to enzymes, bringing power to things. I mean, that's how our muscles contract and stuff like that, you know, calcium. So anyway, you block that. What happens means it blocks it from working. So now it's like the door is stuck wide open. And 1 million calcium ions go enter the cell per second. You flood the cell with calcium. Then it interacts with other like hydroxyl radicals, nitric oxide, things like that. It starts producing peroxynitrates. It produces the hydroxyl radical. It produces all of these free radicals, which kill the cell, cause havoc. Now, the reason we know this is absolutely true is because the experiments that have been done where they use calcium channel blockers, which are drugs that doctors give patients with high blood pressure. Okay, so it's a way of lowering blood pressure. So they block calcium channels. So what happens is, so they expose the group of animals, two different groups of animals, to lethal doses of EMF. Gave one half calcium channel blockers, the other one not. The ones that got the calcium channel blockers had no effect from the EMF. The other ones died. And they've done this repeatedly. So we know that. We know that. So in detox, how do you detox? How do you detox inside the cell? Because you've got, the problem is now inside the cell. It's not outside the cell. Yeah, and the one thing I didn't mention was the effects of glyphosate. And the reason I have to mention it specifically is because it's ubiquitous now. It's everywhere. It's in GMO foods. It's in non-GMO foods. I mean, it's just everywhere. But basically, it does a lot of things. One is it completely decimates the microbiome's ability. Our microbiome, our microorganisms, which are archaea, bacteria, protozoa, funguses, they and only they have a certain metabolic pathway to produce certain amino acids that are fundamental, right? And it's called the Shiitake pathway. And some people may have heard of it, some people may not have heard of it, but it's necessary because it's how we produce phenylalanine and tyrosine and tryptophan. Now, these are amino acids that are necessary. For example, tryptophan is how we make serotonin and it's how we make melatonin. Phenylalanine is how we make adrenaline, epinephrine, and norepinephrine, which are neurotransmitters, right? and also, So anyway, so these are really fundamental to the way we function, and we get them from the microorganisms microorganisms. Okay, so when we talk about essential amino acids versus non-essential amino acids, because everyone remembers that amino acids are the building blocks of proteins, right? So there are some that we cannot make, and the others, once we have the essential ones, we can take them and modify them and make the others. Okay, but keep in mind that all amino acids on Earth are made initially by microorganisms, because they are the only ones who can take the nitrogen out of the air and stick it onto a carboxylic acid group and produce what's called an amino acid, right? So they make the fundamental ones. So anyway, so here comes the glyphosate, destroys that, at least those three. Glyphosate also directly affects our liver's ability to detoxify. And it destroys our ability to make certain neurotransmitters. And it's like, I mean, if you were going to war against humans, you would have come up with this, right? It's pretty bad. So we've got to get rid of that as well. So that the EMF, the dysbiosis within us. And then the other thing I didn't talk about is toxic relationships, fear, all that sort of thing, right? Those are major, major, major. In fact, I've come to learn treating cancer, working with people with cancer, is that that's number one. I've got to work on that. And if I don't work on that, nothing else matters. And by the way, once you correct this, and once you've got a happy, optimistic person, guess what happens? Their physiology improves. Wow. I mean, that's part of, or maybe all of, the placebo effect. But it goes way beyond the placebo effect, we can discuss in other modules. But I just wanted to say that. So all in all, what do we need to do? We need to live a life that allows us to satisfy all of our biological needs and avoid anything and everything that's going to interfere with that. That's basically it.